Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, August 4th, 2016. It's just after 2 UTC as we're starting to record this. Back at pretty much our normal day of the week and time and stuff. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with us. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello, everybody.
No crazy conventions or anything this week. Although there's plenty of crazy.
So, like, do we need a convention for crazy right now? I mean, apparently, you know.
So, our agenda, basically, we're going to do everything else first, and then we'll just talk about all the crazy shit Donald Trump has done in the last week.
You know,
I have a little scratch note thing that I write down throughout the week. I jot things down and said, oh, maybe I want to talk about this. Maybe I want to talk about this. And I'm looking, there are nine separate Donald Trump things, crazy Donald Trump things. So we'll get to Donald Trump, but we can do everything else first.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. So I also did want to make one note, which is that the Curmudgeon's Corner podcast reached a milestone last week. This is very exciting.
Drum roll.
Anyway, as most of you know, we are a small podcast. So this number is not going to sound all that impressive to the general world, but to us, hey, we've been growing and this is a big thing. For the first time, we had 100 downloads on our podcast last week.
Yay! And 100 downloads that wasn't somebody at some technology company just testing or using our podcast as a download test.
Yeah, I don't think that, exactly. And we actually blew past 100 fairly far. We were, I think it was 128, if I remember right, something like that. Anyway, we've been, I looked and we've been about doubling every 3 to 4 months, which isn't
good
bad.
Trend. We like the trend. So welcome to all of you new listeners. We really appreciate the listeners and the feedback and everything. If we haven't mentioned it before, because you guys are new, because a lot of times we say it at the end of the podcast, not at the beginning. You know, email us, Facebook page. Send message there.
Feedback at curmudgeons-corner.com. We'll get feedback to me. We're both on Twitter. I'm at Abelsmay. Yvonne is at IMBO, B-O-U. And our Facebook
and
page.
And Abelsmay is A-B-U-L-S-M-E.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, okay,
and great. And, of course, our Facebook page is Curmudgeon's Corner, and comments and things are welcome there.
Yes.
So, anyway, like I said, 100 is still small, but we're growing. We're growing nicely. And it's actually starting to look like it might actually be kind of exponential-ish as opposed to something else. But maybe not. Who knows? And anyway, regardless, we do it for fun. For those of you who are out there and listening on a regular basis, we really appreciate you. And
now, look, if somebody wants to send us a huge amount of cash, we're not going to reject it. Okay? I'm here to clarify, you know, I know we don't do it for money, but if anybody feels the urge to just dispose of massive unwanted amounts of money, we will gladly accept it.
We'll take your excess?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Now that we've hit this grand total of 100, I might actually go ahead and start setting up a Patreon or something.
Ah, there you go.
Not that I would expect to get more than, anything. But, you know, I figure it's worth the exercise, you know. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, so thank you to all of our listeners who have let us reach this milestone. We really appreciate it. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we will be back after this.
Let us begin. Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, we are back, and, okay, we're attacking Libya.
Yes, we are apparently attacking Libya.
Where did this come from?
I didn't expect it. It said something about attacking ISIS.
Well, yeah,
I
mean,
like what I saw at the eye level.
Yeah, the one thing that has been a trend that has been visible for a while now is that Libya has been growing more chaotic, and there have been multiple, you know, continuing reports that ISIS was setting up a second base there, or maybe more than second, but was setting up a base there. By base, I don't necessarily mean like a physical, here's a spot of land, but a center of operations. So apparently the prime minister of Libya or whatever asked us to please intervene. And so we're bombing people.
So we bombed people. I can't say, you know, you and I have talked about this. We're not really pro bombing people just at random. I have no idea what we're bombing, why. I really didn't dig deep into it. To be honest, that's another thing that just was drowned out by a lot of noise.
Yeah, because there was a lot of other things going on. So it's like, hey, we just opened up another front in a war, and we're involved in yet another country. Now, obviously, we'd been doing things in Libya a while back. That this whole Benghazi thing was all about involvement in Libya. And all of this is still related to the aftermath of Gaddafi's death and the chaos everything went into after that. But yeah, let's see. We were just reading a quick summary. We conducted a series of airstrikes, including some tanks that were targeting Libyan forces, and we did a bunch of stuff Monday, and I don't know. There may be more. There may be not. I don't know.
Just one of those things that you're like, well, huh?
To the broader point, we don't act actively like we're quote unquote at war, but there are regular military interventions happening of the sort where we are in fact bombing people and killing people and in like something like five or six countries right now.
Yeah, you know? I know.
We're doing stuff in Iraq. We're doing stuff in Syria. We're doing stuff still occasionally in Pakistan. We're involved in Yemen. We're involved in now Libya. That's five right there. And I think I'm missing a couple.
I'm sure.
And that's just the ones that are like somewhat overt and everybody knows about it. I'm sure we're doing covert things in various other places too.
Right.
You know, so.
And this is with a president that doesn't have a reputation for an itchy trigger finger.
Right.
Compared to others.
I mean, this is with a president whose opponents are all like arguing about how he's weak and not involved and not pushing things. Here we are. We're doing stuff in all kinds of countries all over the place. Now, of course, they would like to do more and bigger and whatever. But the remarkable thing to me is that we have this kind of involvement. I mean, we effectively are at war in multiple countries right now. And do we talk about it every day? No. It's just sort of, yeah, that stuff's going on. Whatever. You know, it's just, you'd think it would be like kind of a big deal, but it's kind of faded away. It's quote unquote normal at this point. I mean,
I think we've gotten that. That's the new normal right now. You know, I don't know what to say if this is the new normal. I mean, I take it back. I don't know if you recall. I mean, you know, even after the first Iraq war, we were doing a lot of bombing of places. I mean, I think you and I, when we did our first stint of Carmudge's Corner, when Clinton was taken over from Bush, I mean, Bush Senior had been bombing the shit out of a whole bunch of countries in the 2 months, you know, in between the Clinton's inauguration. It was Somalia and some other stuff. So
yeah, I don't remember.
I mean, I do. And I remember that we actually remarked about it. It's like, you know, one of the things that we talked about were there were a lot of questions about Bill Clinton's foreign policy credentials because, you know, he was the governor of Arkansas. Let's be clear.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the involvement in Somalia that Bush got into after the election, before Clinton took over, sort of.
Right.
Like, ha ha, there you go. Have fun with this one.
And we had been launching tomahawks against a whole bunch of terrorist targets somewhere in, like, places and whatever. I know it seemed like every other week we were launching, like, freaking tomahawks against something. And, you know, it's just kind of like we were like, what the heck, you know? And I think it's just, you know, it's just been something that it's happening all the time, and we just don't talk about it as actively.
Well, we don't talk about it as actively, and because of technologies like drones and the fact that they're, even when we're not using drones, we're bombing from the air and stuff like that, it's not like, you know, we're sending hundreds of thousands of actual human beings on the ground to do something. It's not like the invasion of Iraq. It's not like Vietnam.
No.
It's not like it's
no.
For,
no.
for the Americans, it's not at that scale. And the, you know, yes, there are casualties, and yes, people are dying. There are Americans dying. There are certainly people on the other side dying, even. But it's not at the numbers that make it so that, you know, hey, everybody knows somebody who went over there. You know, or everybody knows somebody who was directly affected. We're just not at that level right now because we can do a lot of damage without being at that level. Now, we've had a general theme of like, now, is this wise? Are we making things worse? Are we actually improving the situation over there in any of the places we're involved? And I think in many of them, there's a good argument to say that our involvement is actually counterproductive. In terms of this Libya one, I have no fucking idea. I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know. I can't say anything about it. I don't know. So anyway. So
there you go.
All right. So Lib. All right.
Okay. What's going on with the Zika thing?
So they, in a neighborhood in Miami, Wynwood, which is somewhere near downtown, they discovered it was, it's about 45 miles from my house.
Okay. That's a decent distance.
It's not close.
Okay.
It's very near downtown Miami. It's very near the international airport. You know, so apparently there were some mosquitoes that apparently had been transmitting Zika, and they found a number of cases. They were very proactive in attacking it. They went around the neighborhood. The preferred method to handle something like this is to go house by house, block by block, go and look for any areas where there could be breeding of the mosquito that does this, which is the Aedes aegypti mosquito. Okay. So it breeds in standing water. So you'll go through the places. You'll try to find any standing water. You'll make sure you get rid of that. That breeds the mosquitoes. You spray locally, and they were also doing some aerial spraying of the area in order to make sure of that. They went house by house to do that, and they did some targeted way in order to try to do that. Today there were no new cases reported. By the way, which we had a number of days where there was a number of cases reported. Today, there were no new cases reported. Hopefully, if that holds, it means that they got wherever, you know, they were using tracking, you know, technology in order to try to map where this outbreak is and make sure that, you know, they could contain it. Well, let's see if that trend continues that, you know, where they believe that they had narrowed it down to a 1 square mile area where they believed
it just seems
the source of it.
It just seems really odd that it's such a small, geographically constrained area, given the nature of everything about how this thing spreads.
Well, I mean,
because it's mosquito-borne, but you'd expect the mosquitoes to sort of gradually move, not suddenly jump into an area. And then, you know, it's also sexually transmitted.
It depends on how the mosquito got there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because we have a lot of people traveling back and forth, and we import and export a lot of things back and forth. Yeah. You know, who the hell knows if somebody brought a freaking package or something from wherever,
and tossed it out the window and whatever.
And exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, there you go. Boom. Now you wind up with a mosquito. So, you know, so who knows? I mean, how that happened. But, you know, you got it there. You know, I was on Twitter today talking about this, about the fact that, you know, at this time, you know, we have a very serious outbreak in Puerto Rico that is
right.
completely out of control. Okay, and the argument, and there's one of the hosts of the major radio shows in Puerto Rico, somebody I know for a long time, so I was tweeting back and forth with him about this. If you look at my Twitter feed, look at the translations about it that was talking about Zika, because in Puerto Rico, the problem is that over here, they detected the outbreak, boom, they descended like a fucking, you know, battalion to annihilate it, wherever the hell it was, okay? In Puerto Rico, they have been arguing about spraying for 6 months, and they keep saying that they're going to kill. What bottom line is, they haven't done dick, nothing. They know that the program involves like going house to house to do this. They know you need to get rid of the standing water. The biggest problem they got in Puerto Rico right now that is causing the virus is that I may be wrong on this timeline, but so 20 years ago, Puerto Rico started a big tire recycling program because tires are a big problem. It's the biggest source of standing water. I mean, tires, abandoned, used tires, you know, standing around, just, you know, they pool water.
Okay.
Feed mosquitoes. Yeah, yeah. It's difficult. There was a tire recycling plant in Puerto Rico, okay? It was built by a guy from Indiana. I actually, by coincidence, met him on a plane, okay? And there was a law passed that, you know, I was flying to Indianapolis and I bumped into the guy once. There was a law in Puerto Rico passed that a tax was being collected in order to recycle the tires. About 15 years ago, if I don't remember correctly, that plant caught fire. The tire recycling plant. Okay, I think that they never rebuilt it. Okay, but here's the kicker: they've been collecting the tax on recycling the tires, and nobody has been fucking recycling the tires. Okay, so there are millions of used tires in Puerto Rico with no place to go. And they are winding up being the biggest source of a breeding ground to this. Now, for the last, I don't know, number of years, well, we need to do something about the tires. We need to do something about the tires. And nothing gets done. Nothing. All right? So they had a plan to put them all in containers and ship them to Florida for recycling. Okay? That hasn't happened. Okay? So nothing's being done about the tires. They've known about this problem for years. Nothing's being done. That keeps getting worse. They keep coming up with plans. They don't execute on any of them. They talked about the aerial spraying. They talked about the house-to-house spraying. They know about this. They actually, the federal government provided the insecticide or whatever. Then everybody started arguing in Puerto Rico, saying that the insecticide was poisonous and we can't use it. And no spraying, no getting rid of the tires. Nothing is being done. And it's just going out of control, and they're doing absolutely nothing about it.
Well, that sounds lovely. Now,
yes,
it sounds like that's mostly like the Puerto Rican government just not being able to get any act together. Yeah. Right?
Yes, I mean, they're completely. They are right now. The Puerto Rican current government in power is absolutely incompetent.
Yeah, you've mentioned this in many other contexts before, the debt and various other things. Now, but you mentioned, you know, there in Miami, kaboom. Now, there's been a lot of talk about, at the national level, Congress not allocating funds and things like that, and somebody else, other people are saying, well, Obama has some funds and he's not even using those. What's your take? Is this something that this a national response is really necessary here? And
I think a national response is necessary to be more funding. Obama and the CDC and Department, you know, and some of they actually provided Puerto Rico with the insecticide and stuff, and Puerto Rico refused to use it. Okay. So it's not like they haven't been doing anything, even though they did ask for more funding, because one of the problems that this may cause right now, because of how big the outbreak is getting in Puerto Rico, you may have you are going to have a serious health crisis, okay? Especially with children. I mean, you've got six. You got about. Oh, you're closing in on over 10,000 cases for sure. Okay, right now, and the number keeps rising. But you are going to have a serious health crisis. You're going to have to come up with funds in order to deal with it. Okay, at some point. You know.
Okay. Anything else on anyway. Zika?
No.
Okay.
No, I spent my. If you guys want to see some of the bait on that and see the translations, you could go by Twitter feed and you can see at IMBO and see some of the stuff that talked about that more in depth about what's happening in Puerto Rico with Zika right now. So
yeah. Okay. So next up, over the weekend, Clinton gave an interview with Fox News and was asked about the email story. And for some reason, you know, she went out and made a statement about how the FBI had basically said that all her previous statements had been truthful and blah, blah, blah.
She cherry picked a quote. Okay.
She cherry picked a look. And my point on this is not to re-bring up everything about the email.
Why is she even saying this?
Yeah,
it's
like, I mean, what's the point? Because like the actual statement from the FBI was okay. They didn't give an indictment, but it was pretty darn bad. I mean, it laid out thing after thing after thing that they said she did wrong. She screwed up. She was stupid. She did this. She put people at risk. She mishandled classified information. Incompetent. Blah blah blah. It was a pretty bad statement. From the FBI. Now, okay, there have been some questions back and forth afterwards about, you know, okay, whatever. The bottom line is, Clinton could, the right play here is to express real contrition and be like, you know, I'm sorry, I realize all this, I've learned, I'm going to be better in the future, and I apologize. And she said some of this before. But then she goes on and said, no, they said I said everything truthful. Whereas, in fact, he said that a lot of the things she said was wrong or misleading. And it's like, why?
But I know, and she cherry picked a different quote, not that one,
right,
that he said something about, you know, because Comey did say that. But yet at the same time, what she said is that, you know, that she was totally wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
So listen. So just it's just that I don't get it. But you're right.
She is so damn lucky that she's running against Donald Trump.
Yes.
I mean, because
agreed. Because she could have been buried this week with this thing.
Yeah. I mean, like if it wasn't for Donald Trump, if we had any other fucking Republican on there, we would have spent the entire week talking about how Clinton was just can't stop lying about the email thing.
Right.
You know, because
but you're running against Donald Trump, but that pales in comparison to everything else that he did.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, it's like, I mean, who cares?
And it's like, and why? Well, and this comes back to what we've said before. If anyone possibly could fuck this up, it's Hillary Clinton, because it's like, really, you have the opportunity to actually put this issue completely and totally behind you. But instead, you do something that has the potential of keeping it alive and reinforces the notion that you're a liar, because 5 seconds after that damn interview, PolitiFact was out, you know, with a pants on fire rating.
Right, yes.
Or four Pinocchio's pants on fire, whatever it was.
Yes, yes.
It's different. Fact checkers use the different
things. Yeah, it's different. Yeah, but whatever. But they all said it was just a ridiculous statement.
Really? I mean... And, you know, Yvonne and I had a little dust up on text on, like, does she really think?
What I'm saying, and I think that we're actually debating what in her mentality, what is she thinking herself?
Yeah.
Okay. And what I was telling Sam is that I think, listen, I actually think that she thought, you know, that what she was doing was fine. You know, I did the reasons why people are saying that's not why I did it. But you know, the one thing I said is, look, regardless of your intentions, regardless whatever, you fucked up. You got to own it and just deal with it. And that's not what she's doing.
And what I was saying is I believe in her core, she believes she did absolutely nothing wrong. Not anything stupid, not anything immoral, not anything illegal.
Even beyond, like, whatever. She doesn't believe that she did, like, even, you know, anything wrong at all.
Right. So she's not, whenever she comes out and says, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I've admitted I made a mistake.
She's apologizing just because, you know, people are making a big shit about it. She just has to apologize.
Right. She doesn't actually believe, oh, crap, I screwed up, I shouldn't have done that. She believes she should have done that. She believes that it was the right thing to do, and she had good reasons to do it, and that, there was absolutely nothing wrong with it, and she still believes that to this day, I'm sure of it. And so whenever she comes out and apologizes for it, she comes off ingenuous.
Yes. But she's just, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, whatever. This is the subject that, you know what, listen, it's already kind of dead.
Exactly. All she has to do is shut up.
You should shut up. What? You got to have your boilerplate answer ready for it.
Yeah, you have your
boilerplate. And that's it.
You have your boilerplate. I acknowledged I made mistakes. I'm sorry. I've learned from it.
Yeah, that's it. Move on.
So, you know, now, as we said, this pales compared to Donald Trump. And in the next segment, we'll talk about Donald Trump.
Yes.
But, you know, like, this would have been the story of the week.
It would have been. Absolutely. No problem.
But no.
No, but no. Nope.
Okay.
Why leave the spotlight to somebody else? I guess it's Trump's thinking. I do truly believe that that's part of it. A huge part of it.
Well, and we'll get to Trump in 1 second.
Spotlight or bad spotlight, whatever. All publicity is good publicity, right? I guess.
One other non-Trump thing before we take a break and move on to Trump. So it came out this week that apparently at least one of the money transfers with Iran that was related to the Iran deal was cash.
The reason why it was cash, right?
Let me complete it. It was cash. It was delivered in, you know, sort of a big pallet of a whole crap load of cash. Apparently the timing was such that it happened simultaneously or near simultaneously with Iran releasing Americans.
Okay, great. So what difference would it have made that it was delivered a week after or a week before?
It just looks bad. It makes it look like hostages.
But the reality is that that money was agreed upon money that the U.S. had agreed to pay Iran
and
to settle a whole bunch of longstanding disputes. This was, I mean,
was this part of the frozen money that was Iran's?
No. This was part of a settlement of a weapons deal that was done by the Shah that was never closed completely, in which apparently we received the money from Iran, but we never delivered the weapons.
Right.
And that was an outstanding claim that was there, and this was part of the payment in order to settle that claim, which was part of the fucking negotiation.
We should have just given them the weapons. The 1970s weapons. The original 1970s weapons. In whatever state they're in today.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have been something. I think the amount, you know, I don't know about the amounts, but the bottom line is that they agreed. I think the settlement, if I remember correctly, it's only a tranche of it.
Yeah.
It's over $1 billion. I think it was $1.6 billion to settle that. And this is only a partial payment of it, okay? So, you know,
So now why did it have to be cash?
Because we don't have interbank, they're not in the banking system. Remember that they have restrictions on.
Isn't that part of what we opened up as part of this deal?
I don't think it was done by then.
Okay.
So, you know, they couldn't, we couldn't do like a SWIFT transfer. They're off SWIFT. We're taking them off. So it's not like we could do a wire transfer or anything. No, the only way to give them the fucking money was to give them cash. So they got a whole bunch of pallets. It was a combination of like euros, francs, whatever, pop, pop, pop. Fucking put them on a plane, delivered them to Iran. And now, look, I mean, and I'm sorry, but we're doing a deal that we're closing, right? This is part of the deal. I'm going to say, listen, even if it happened on that day, I'm sorry. They're releasing hostages. We're delivering money. I mean, shit, when you sign a deal, let's get this straight. We agreed to this, right? We agreed to return this money, whatever. They were going to send these people back. I'm going to say that I'm like, I'm sorry, if you're the Iranians, and by the way, part of the deal was never the hostages. Supposedly, there was not written in the deal. Right. But let's see. You see the fucking plane load of money arrive, and you decide to release the hostages. Don't you think? I'm trying to figure out, how else would you not do it if you're, wouldn't you play it if you're them? I mean, I don't know. Well, I mean, the thing, and what I said is, listen, if the money had been delivered a week before, a week after, whatever, we'd still be hearing shit. I mean, Jesus, well, if you remember,
look, you also can't win either way. If you remember at the time of the deal, there was a lot of criticism of Obama saying, how could you make this deal without making sure there was an arrangement to get our people released?
Exactly. Right.
And so this is like, look, it's actually relatively common in deals like this for there to be part that is on the official record and part that's sort of informal that happens.
I'll give a good example.
Missile crisis?
Yes.
That's where I was going.
Yes. That's the perfect example, how we removed these missiles from Turkey that the Russians did, but we did it like 10 months later, and we didn't officially put it as part of the deal. This is diplomacy, people. What the fuck you want? Well, you know, some people want non-diplomacy. Apparently, they want, like, figuring out why we can't use nukes. But anyway, I bust the crust. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
Okay. as I cough. Okay, look, that's all that we have that isn't really Trump-related.
Trump.
You know, I had a little thing about my local primaries, but honestly, even my comments about that are vaguely Trump-related. So we're going to take a break, and then we're just going to talk about all the crazy Trump stuff from
we should rename this like the Trump. We're going to do it to our Trump channel section now.
Trump Mudgeon's Corner.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't. No.
Trumper stand?
I don't know. I can't come up. I was trying to come up with something, and I'm shooting blanks. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll be on Trump. I mean, literally, I'm looking at my list here. It's Trump versus Khan, Trump on debates, Trump on election fraud, Trump sanity, Trump with baby, Trump not endorsing Ryan and McCain, Trump university, Trump wanting Purple Heart, Trump Washington Post interview, Trump GOP war, faithless elector, Trump and classified info. It's like Trump.
And what about the nukes? You didn't put the, what about the nukes?
And I didn't even put the nukes. Yeah. I'll add that now. But yeah. Trump and nukes. Those are two things I really don't ever want to see together.
No.
Anyway, we'll take that break. We'll be back, and we'll go through all the Trump stuff. Back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we are back. So, Trump. Let's start with this thing with Mr. Khan. Now, I actually inserted into last week's episode, after we recorded it, a brief note, because we hadn't mentioned his speech at all, that a number of people had been talking about it in terms of how powerful it was.
We didn't mention the speech because, okay, you know, there were like, how many speeches were there at the Democratic Convention? There were like 200 speeches, right?
I'll give you my excuse was I actually didn't see most of it. Like, I actually saw parts of it.
I saw the speech.
Anyway, the bottom line is, look, by the time we got done recording our show, everybody was talking about this speech. Like, we recorded our show immediately after Hillary Clinton stopped speaking, essentially.
Right.
And by the time we finished the show, everybody was talking about this speech. I'd seen bits and pieces of it in the background, but hadn't been paying full attention when it happened. And like, I went back and watched it. It was a powerful speech. But the point is not the powerful speech himself he gave. That basically, you know, just the quick summary. His son died in Iraq, I believe, in 2004, and he basically went on a rant about how Donald Trump wouldn't have even wanted him in the country because they're Muslim, and Donald Trump, have you even read your constitution, and pulls out a copy of his constitution. A very powerful presentation. But here's the thing. As much as everybody was talking about it being a very powerful presentation, 48 hours later, it would have been gone. It would have been out of the news.
Listen, I mean, even on Friday, people were talking about it, but it's not like...
Yeah, it would have been gone by Saturday or Sunday.
This thing was over.
Yeah, I mean, because that speech was Thursday night. And people were talking about it Friday, but by Saturday, it would be barely remembered, except Donald Trump decided to jump in.
And attack the man.
He's been attacking the man.
And his wife.
He attacked the man. He attacked his wife. He did this. He did that. Then they responded.
The funniest thing about the attack is one of the attacks that the guy that Trump lays out is that he had railed into his wife for saying, why is she just standing there? Is she not allowed to speak in her religion? Yes. And unbeknownst to that moron, that the night before he had done an interview on MSNBC. And his wife had spoken at the interview and said that the reason she didn't speak was because any time that the pictures of her son are presented and they have this massive picture of her son, she is so freaking overwhelmed by grief that she can't talk.
Right.
But since he's an uninformed moron, he didn't go and find out about this. It just started blasting into them.
Indeed. And so, of course, he looked like an insensitive fool, which he is. But
yes, it's not like, let's correct that. He was an insensitive fool. He didn't look like it.
Yes. So then they respond and he attacks back, and some of his surrogates like Roger Stone start putting out stuff about how this guy is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood and he actually supports terrorists and. Of which there's no actual evidence, by the way. And it's just, this has been stretched out. As of today, it's been almost a week since the original speech.
Yep.
And people are still talking about it because every time it seems like it's just about died down, somebody in Trump world brings it up again.
Right.
And this is apparently despite internal memos within the Trump world saying urgent pivot needed. Stop talking about this.
Right.
But apparently
we're just killing ourselves. 70% of 70% of people think that we look like assholes. Stop talking about it.
Yes. Because look, the specific issue, like completely aside from like the criticism of, you know, do you know your constitution? Do you really want to restrict Muslims? Is there a valid reason to restrict immigration? Blah, blah, blah. All of the specific issues, which I think you know where Yvonne and I stand, and we don't agree with Mr. Trump. But completely aside from the specific issues and discussing them in some sort of rational way, this whole thing is Donald Trump trying to beat up on this person who was not in the public eye prior to Thursday.
Right.
And who lost, the pair of them, they lost their child.
Yep.
In a military action. And Donald Trump has just been beating up on them for days.
And he's looked like, he has come out, I think, like...
And he says, don't I have the right to respond? Okay, of course you have the right to respond, but you're being an ass. And of course, one of his responses said, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is very close. He has no right to come out and insinuate that I don't understand the Constitution.
Which in itself shows that he doesn't understand the Constitution.
Because, of course, he does have that right.
That's the right. That's the whole point of the fucking Constitution, you moron. Yes.
So we've spent a significant portion of the last week on this stupid issue with Trump
basically just pouring more gasoline on it every time. Just fucking like just every time he speaks about it, he just makes it worse and worse and worse.
And in some of these interviews, he's like, and the media is making it a multi-day story. No, you idiot.
You made it a multi-day story.
Like, if he had put out, you know, if he had either completely ignored it or put out, you know, a short little statement saying, you know, I feel for this family and I appreciate their loss and I'd be happy to talk to them.
Something like that. Yes. Anything. Whatever.
He'd be done. We would not be talking about this. This would have been gone.
This would have been gone. Absolutely. 100%.
Now,
for sure.
Now, there's been some talk of, like, was this the Democrats intentionally baiting him?
No, I don't think so. No. Not at all. No.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. No, they're not that smart.
No, I think they thought this was a perfect counter case to Trump to show exactly the example of a Muslim American who, you know, sacrificed their life for this country and their sympathetic parents, and thought that would contrast very well with Donald Trump. I think you're right that in their wildest dreams, they weren't thinking that Donald Trump would throw himself on this and you know,
just feed it like a fucking, like, you know, like you're feeding a raging bull. Yes.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the next thing. Donald Trump has been laying the groundwork for potentially, well, he's been complaining about the debate schedule.
Yep.
And the issue is that a couple of the debates are scheduled at the same time as NFL games.
Yep.
And he's saying that this was done on purpose to hurt, you know, to lower the viewership, and this is all like a big plan by Hillary. Of course, this was all planned more than a year ago by a bipartisan commission, blah, 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 blah. So, of course, that's bullshit. Now, you know, and in previous election cycles, by the way, debates have been at the same time as NFL.
And then he makes up this entire lie.
About the letter.
Yeah, about getting a letter from the NFL complaining about the debate scheduling, of which the NFL had issued a press release saying, we never sent any damn letter, Mr. Trump. What the hell are you talking about?
This just shows another thing, which is that he can't help himself. There was no reason to add that bit about the letter.
None!
And it's like, it's easily verifiable one way or another. It's just like, he's just making shit up.
Right.
And he can't stop himself.
Which is why we're talking about, well, Hillary's thing with the whatever. Well, shit, when you've got this other guy just generating this much more bullshit on the other end, it completely smothers whatever mistake she makes.
Now, the thing that people are talking about, though, is that this is laying the groundwork for him backing out of debates. Like, he's going to say that this is unfair, that they're stacked against him, that whatever, he doesn't like the schedule, he doesn't like the constraints, he doesn't like the rules of the debate, because
in the presidential debate, he can't really pull the stunts that he's pulled on the primary debates. It'll be very difficult to do a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I'm just envisioning that last debate with Rubio, where he starts talking about, you know, the size of his various parts and him trying to pull that with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's Donald Trump. He would do it.
Right. I guess maybe he's recognizing that that was not going to work very well for him, or people in his circle are telling him, you know, it's going to be a fucking disaster. You have no mastery at all of any of the facts, number one. You're not going to sit down to prepare for it. You know this. He doesn't have the attention span to do it. I mean, if he hasn't so far, why the fuck would he do it now? Yes. Right? And he has a tendency to just insult and belittle people that in that stage is going to look like shit.
We'll see. It's laying the groundwork. He's not saying he's not going to do the debates, but he's starting to complain about them. He's starting to say the rules are unfair, blah, 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 all of this kind of stuff. So what he's doing is he's setting it up so that if he does pull out, his supporters will be like, well, he had to pull out because it was unfair. It was stacked against him. It was this, it was that, it was that. You know, he's setting it up so that he has that option fairly easily if he wants to. Would it damage him generally amongst the election? Probably. But amongst his core supporters, they'd be like, yeah, he's showing them. I don't know.
But those core supporters, looking at the polling data, I mean, what do you think the percentage is of the people that will cast a vote? You know, take the 100% pie of votes. How much do you think of the percentages really those rabid core supporters? Not just the anti-Hillary people, whatever, GOP people. You know what I'm saying?
25% to 30%.
You know, you can't win a fucking election with just those guys. There's no way.
No, you can't. Which brings us to the next thing that Trump is laying the groundwork for, is he's talking about voter fraud. And he's talking about, he's basically made statements that come pretty darn close to the only possible way that I can lose in November is if there's voter fraud. There are going to be people voting 10 times. They're going to be this. They're going to be that. If it basically setting it up so that he can lose, but claim he didn't and claim it was cheating and rile up his people about that. And, you know, and this is, again, like, I keep bringing it back to, like, all the Trump guys we see posting on election graphs. You see them already saying this kind of stuff.
I know.
In their arguments, they're already talking about how this is rigged and how it's cheating and how the mainstream media is against him. And you can 100% see the possibility of him losing on election night and not admitting it. And claiming that
I will put $100 down now as a bet that he's not making a concession speech.
And the question though is like, does he start throwing lawsuits left and right and demanding recounts in a dozen states and all this kind of crap?
He ain't gonna get anywhere. It don't matter. Whatever. So what? There, you know how the recount rules are. There's got to be, you know, for there's a gotta recount. Be reason. Exactly.
It either has to be close within a certain percentage or you have to have a specific reason that you think that something's wrong.
Exactly. Yeah, otherwise, it's whatever. It's a waste of time.
Yeah. And so, yeah. But he's, it's like, this is, you know, and I've heard people compare to this to, you know, the people in 2000 talking about the election being stolen from Al Gore. But you know what? Al Gore was like, okay, I lost.
Right.
You know, in the end, he can tell.
He wasn't happy about it.
He took it to the Supreme Court. But in the end, he was like,
We lost.
Now, but if you have a candidate like Donald Trump continuing to demand after the election and talk about how it was stolen and how this was bullshit and how he really should have won and he is the legitimate president and Hillary Clinton is not legitimate, you're just immediately on day one poisoning the well for the Clinton administration, you know?
I don't know, man. I mean, look, this guy, it doesn't... Listen, this is already poisoned. I mean, I told you
this.
Like,
I know.
Listen, you guys were talking about, you know, what kind of a victory is it going to take in order to crush these people? And I've already said flat out, these people are not going to be crushed like right now. This fight is not over in November. It's not. You know, unfortunately, I wish it was. Well, but it's not.
Yeah. And it's going to be. I'm kind of mostly assuming at this point that Clinton is going to win. We can talk about the scenarios that might still have a Trump victory. But assuming a Clinton win, watching what happens to the Republican Party over the next few years is going to be incredibly interesting to see play out, because basically the big question is going to be, are they able to sort of erase the memory of Donald Trump and go back to quote unquote normal, or do they dive even further into the crazy swamp?
I don't know.
Yeah. And I think part of that depends on how close the election ends up being, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if Clinton wins, but just barely, you know, hell, Donald Trump could run again in 2020.
Oh, God.
You know, if
but that would be highly unlikely. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying we haven't had a loser in a presidential election like try again.
We haven't, I'm trying to remember, not in a long time. Yeah, we haven't.
I'm trying to remember.
Not successfully anyway, and even
since Nixon.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
we've had people lose in the primaries and try again, but not
the general election.
Not in a long time. But, you know, yeah, I think it's somewhat unlikely. But if Trump doesn't go again, do we get somebody who figures out what Trump's appeal is, but isn't quite as insane and therefore can.
But his appeal is the insanity.
It's not.
Look. It's the primary driver.
No, part of it's insane.
We've had guys like this before. They just haven't been this nuts.
I mean,
think of Pat Buchanan.
Right. I mean, but
Buchanan wasn't going to like say like, you know, hey, you reporter, you're.
No, all you need is like
about his dick size and shit like that.
But
he was an asshole. But you know,
if you take a Donald Trump and all of his antics, but just rein it back in like 10%, just make it so that like he doesn't go after Khan for a week.
But that does that you're still I don't see how it works. The lunacy is what's worked for this guy.
Yeah.
All the way out there. Okay? I mean, really.
Okay. Let's take a break, and we will continue with more Trump.
Trump insanity. More
Trump.
And we're only up to what day? Monday? Well, I mean, we're only...
I don't know if we're even going in order, but yeah, basically. And look... One of the specific bullet items, and I just moved it to the end so we can get sort of all the evidence first. But the thing at the end is there a number of places actually explicitly talking about, does Mr. Trump have a mental health issue? So we'll save that one for last.
Okay.
We'll be back right after this. No, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. The music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind. No Blue Thing. Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening. And The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music. Okay, we're back. Next up, Donald Trump and the baby.
Oh my God.
So now
I saw the transcript put on Twitter and I didn't actually watch the video.
I did. So what's your impression? What happened here?
This man, look, this is why I said before. Trump is giving the speech. He's in a room that apparently isn't closed. Baby starts crying. Okay. And you know, the baby is, you can hear him far in the background. It's not that super loud, but you know, you got a baby crying and the mom barely is walking back and forth trying to comfort him. And then Trump says, oh, I love babies, whatever. Nah, don't worry about it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, take care of the baby, blah, blah, blah. Then like a couple of minutes later and the baby keeps crying and he says, I'm kidding. I don't really like babies. Get the baby out of here. You're like, you thought I was serious? I don't know how you could believe I was serious. Of course I wasn't serious. I don't like having this baby crying in here. Get him out of here, please.
Yes, and that's exactly the thing. And by the way, people have put this as Trump attacking a baby. It's not really Trump attacking the baby. It's Trump attacking the baby's mom.
Right.
You know, it's
and I'm like, but I'm like, I mean, this guy doesn't even, I'm sorry, but the guy doesn't even fucking like babies. I mean, I have kids.
Yeah.
I was just in a plane in a situation with a crying baby. Okay. I mean, my God, the last thing you would tell a mother that's there with a fucking poor crying baby is something like that.
Well, look, the thing is, I mean, too, the whole thing with, oh, it's okay, I don't mind, you make her feel good. She's like, oh, okay, I'm glad it's not a problem, and I'm still going to try to comfort my kid because this is a little bit. And then to turn around a few seconds later and
just like, attack her.
Well, and belittle her for, like,
and belittle her.
What, you believed me? Of course, what's the message here? You're an idiot you believe Donald Trump?
Right. I mean, the man has no heart. At all. And you know what that reminded me of? Somebody, you know, who was it that said, I think, was it Joe Biden that said the whole thing about, you know, a guy that like loves the phrase, like, you're fired?
Yes, that was Joe
Biden. How could you believe that this man has any compassion or heart? And you know what? That's the first thing that just rang into me. You know, Joe was totally right. This guy is a fucking complete asshole. I mean, yeah. He likes to tell people they're fired. You know, I've terminated employees. I've never felt good about it, no matter how freaking incompetent the person was.
Yeah, I mean, look, okay? I've done that, too, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And this guy, like, I mean, takes pleasure in it.
Every time I've done that, I mean, and thankfully it hasn't been that many times, and it's been a long time, but, like, when I have had to fire people, I've felt awful. I've felt guilty. I've felt, you know, and I've felt worried about them. And it's something that, you know, and I did, you know, I did what I could to avoid it first, you know, as much as possible. And yeah, it's not something, if somebody takes joy in that, that's a big fucking warning sign right there.
And then I'm telling you, I mean, a mom with a baby that's coming to see his fucking ass, okay, all right, the fucking show support, and that's how you treat the woman? I mean, what a fucking psychotic nut.
Well, and it's not only it's the switch, but it's also this whole, like, you're not just, oh, I changed my mind, please leave. I can't believe she believed me.
Right.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry that you would believe that somebody actually took, you know, like, at, you know, would like, we worried about a baby that's crying. You know, somebody posted a video that was like a recent, there was a baby crying in a crowd. Okay. And, you know, President Obama took immense pleasure. You could tell that he was, I mean, this was, yeah, I mean, you could tell people fake. I mean, you could tell that, I mean, it looked genuine. Okay. From mm-hmm. my estimation. How much pleasure he took in taking that baby that was crying in his arms and, like, comforting him to make him feel better. All right? And it was, and when I saw it, it's like, oh my God, it's a diametrical opposite of this asshole.
Okay, so yes, Donald Trump hates babies.
Yes.
And moms.
He does.
And moms.
And moms. And moms with crying babies, yes.
Yes. So, you know, and you have, it's, there have been a couple of pictures of, like, him holding babies and stuff, too, obviously looking uncomfortable. And look.
Yeah, okay. He looks uncomfortable doing it. Okay. You can see it, and he's like, oh, my God. It's like.
Now, this now is look, the... look. Some people don't like kids, and I understand.
Well, that. He said flat out that with child care, he did absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. Yes. Nothing. That he has never done.
He actually laughed at the insinuation that maybe he would do something.
Right.
He's like, that's her job.
Right. I do absolutely nothing about taking care of children.
And look, I understand. There's some people that don't like kids. Kids can sometimes be very annoying. I understand this. But look,
but he's got five.
But he's got multiple. But also, I mean, the man is running for president. Part of that is ingratiating yourself with the public. I mean, there's a reason, like, the stereotypical politician is going around kissing babies.
Kissing babies.
You know,
this guy is fucking chasing him out of halls.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on. Then the way that Donald Trump apparently decided to get the con thing out of the headlines was as part of a Washington Post interview, which we'll talk about more generally later. But the one specific piece that came out of that is he made a very specific point of not endorsing Paul Ryan or John McCain or Kelly Ayotte. I guess
yes.
Kelly Ayotte wasn't running, but he said some disparaging things about her. I guess she's not right. Not this year.
You may be right. Yes.
Whatever. The big ones were Ryan and McCain. And he made a very specific point of that. In the case of Ryan, they'd moved on in the interview from talking about Ryan to something else, and then he went back specifically because he'd forgot to use the line that he wasn't quite there yet, which was
right.
Echoing back Paul Ryan's line about him a
Correct.
Couple months ago.
Yep.
And he wanted to repeat that a few times. And look, the reason this is interesting is basically you've got the Republican candidate for president refusing to say that they support the Speaker of the House, who's also a Republican, or one of the most senior senators. And one of the senior, most respected senators in...
It's unheard of.
It's unheard of, but it's also just part of this not letting things go thing
right.
that he's got. Because, you know, look, it's the general election time now. He's still in interviews over the last week. He's still been talking about Cruz. He's still been talking about Kasich. He's going after Ryan. He's going after McCain. He's talking about the various Republicans who didn't do quite right by him and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, let that go. It's time to go after Clinton. But he can't.
He can't
let it go.
I gotta give. You know, Cruz is an asshole as well, but I got to give him credit on one thing. And Romney was right. The fact that he went and said, F you, I'm not endorsing you. You're a fucking asshole. I can't trust you with dick. Was totally right. And the fact that Ryan and McCain folded and endorsed this jackass shows how, honestly, Cruz and Romney were totally right.
Mm-hmm.
There was no endorsing this man. You couldn't. They did it, and, you know, they're living with it. Well, with yeah. this shit.
Both Ryan and McCain endorsed Donald Trump, and they're stuck right now. I mean, there was talk, you know, Obama gave a speech basically saying Trump is completely unfit for the office and responsible Republicans should, you know, unendorse, get off that train, whatever.
Well, there's been a number of big ranked Republicans that this week have come out against
Trump. Are, but people like McCain and Ryan have not done that yet. There are lower level people, including some members of the House. There are a number of prominent people who've been involved in campaigns and behind the scenes stuff.
Meg Whitman was the biggest one, CEO of
Meg Whitman just recently. There are a lot of those. But, you know, people have said, look, Trump actually did sort of a masterstroke by doing this, by specifically calling out Ryan and McCain and saying he wasn't endorsing them, because there had been a lot of talk about this guy's crazy, look at this con stuff, are you seriously still supporting this man, and talk about people backing off from that. But he basically put them in a position where if they did it after he did this, they'd look petty because it would look personal. Like, you're unendorsing him because he wouldn't endorse you. And plus, Obama, by giving that speech, actually makes it harder for Republicans to unendorse. So between Trump and Obama, they're actually making it much, much harder for these prominent Republicans to back out. They're trapped.
But then they spend, like he said, every damn day of the week, they keep denouncing shit he says, but you're still endorsing him.
Yeah, they keep saying
it makes no sense.
They keep saying he's a completely irresponsible. I don't agree with what he's saying, blah, 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 blah. But you should still vote for him.
Right. How the hell does that make any sense?
Well, because apparently he's still better than Clinton.
You don't have to endorse Clinton.
Right. Anyway, but so we've, and I guess this is a good time to jump into this this GOP civil war stuff, because you have exactly this. You have a whole bunch of Republicans who are clearly incredibly uncomfortable with this. They've all sort of staked out different positions. There are only a handful who've actually gone so far as to say that they are going for Hillary Clinton. You mentioned Meg Whitman. She's one of them. There was one Republican congressman who apparently said that they're voting for Hillary Clinton. But if you go beyond elected officials to just people who've been involved in the party, there are more that have said Hillary Clinton explicitly. And then there's a much larger group who haven't gone so far as to say that they're going for Hillary Clinton, but have said
they're not going for Trump.
They don't know what the hell they're going to do. They're going to write
something. But they're not going for Trump.
They're
going
to vote for Johnson. They don't know what they're going to do, but it's not going to be Trump.
Right.
And that group is actually apparently fairly sizable. And the question is, do you get somebody who's a big enough name to actually come out and say something dramatic? Look, like, Romney's actually been pretty quiet the last few weeks.
Well, I mean, somebody that's a pretty big name. I thought Meg Whitman's a pretty damn big name. I mean, she was running for freaking governor of California, for God's sake.
She was.
You had who actually spent $130 million of her own money in the campaign.
But I'm talking like currently sitting senators and things, or governors or things like that, that actually coming out and saying
I think those people are kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Those people are screwed. They're in the fucking Republican Party. They're kind of fucked. It's, you know,
I'm waiting for someone to actually just come out and say, you know, I can't deal with this. I'm not a Republican anymore. I'm going to be an independent.
I've heard a number of lower level people.
There have been lower level.
Not high ranking people. There's been a number of lower level people that have been doing that. Just not a very high level person.
Yeah. And I think the real mark of how significant this is if you start seeing that in actual sitting senators, governors, members of the House, even, although lesser so, if you start seeing that at that level, then you know you have something really significant going on. It's easier for the lower level people. And actually, for some of those, it's even still really hard. I mean, if you've spent your entire 20, 30 year career as a Republican operative, coming out and saying, you know, I can't do this, I'm voting for the Democrat, that's huge.
Yeah, I know.
You know? But there are people doing it. The one that I'm going to call out as well, there was an article that I tweeted. There's a gentleman in Georgia who's, you know, a longtime Republican in Georgia, has been involved with the party, et cetera, and got elected to be an elector. And we talked a number of weeks ago about my experience at the Washington State Democrats about how they picked electors. I don't know how they do it in Georgia, but in any case, this man got there and he basically came out with a statement that says, I'm not voting for Trump. I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm not voting for Trump as my personal vote and
as an elector.
And I probably won't as an elector either. He left some wiggle room on the elector side of it. But that what that would mean if he follows through with this is that, you know, Georgia's actually a close state, which also tells you something. But assuming that the Republicans win Georgia, which they're currently expected to do, this man would be an elector. And so he's not going to vote for Trump, which means that Trump would not get all 16 of Georgia's electoral votes. He'd get 15. And one would go to someone else.
Right.
Anyway. Because we talked in Washington State, there's a $1,000 fine for the elector doing something other than what they're supposed to. Apparently in Georgia, there's not even a fine. You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
So what I start thinking about this is he going to be the only one? Yeah.
That's a great question.
There. And I remember tweeting like, back in the height of the thing about whether or not Trump would get to 1257 and would we have a contested convention, and we were talking about how Trump was doing really badly at getting uncommitted delegates, and of course all that turned around, but I tweeted at that point, if he's doing so badly at getting the uncommitted delegates or getting the delegates that are bound to him to actually be ones delegates that like him, I said, if he's doing so badly at that, how's he going to do it, you know, making sure the electors actually like him?
Right.
And so I wonder, is this the first of many? Are we going to find out other electors from other states that are like, you know, I don't care what my state votes, I'm not voting for Donald Trump.
I don't know, but would be quite interesting, wouldn't it? Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of course, if that happens a lot, it may mean the end of the Electoral College. You know that, right?
Well, you know. It also, I think, you know, depends on where we end up with where the election is supposed to be. Like, I don't think it would mean the end of the Electoral College unless it actually means.
I mean, that's what I mean.
Like, if Trump was going to win, if it was like, you know, 270 to 269 or whatever the right split would be, where it's just a couple of electors off and defecting electors cost Trump the win, okay, then maybe that's the end of the Electoral College. Although, if it was Trump, maybe everybody actually says,
and be like, oh, a sigh of relief. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Thank God for the Electoral College. We should keep this.
Well, think what would happen if, say, the loses the popular vote, right? Okay, yeah. Because he gets trounced in, like, California, New York, Florida, and those, right? And then, you know, he may win the electoral majority, and then, you know, you get a couple of faithful electors that said, no fucking way. That's not the will of the people. Fuck it. No.
Yeah.
No Trump.
So interesting, but unlikely scenarios. But I find it very interesting that the problems Trump is having within the Republican Party are going deep enough that we even have we've had faithless electors before. But I'm not sure we've had an elector months before the election come out and say it. Like, I will not vote for him, period, end of story. You know, so it's like people like me who do electoral college estimations, should we start subtracting one? Because this guy has said he's going to do something else?
I would say yes.
You know, I'm going to hold off on that a little bit because he's hedging his bets a little bit. And, you know, who knows? He may, you know, they may replace him as an elector before we get there. I don't know. But Sam from the future here. I'm glad I said that, because guess what? That is exactly what happened. A few hours after this guy came out with his statement about potentially being a faithless elector, he ended up resigning his position as an elector because of pressure that he got from the Georgia Republican Party that, you know, and so, boom, there you go. No longer a faithless elector. He's out. And which just goes to tell you, if anybody else is out there who is thinking about being a faithless elector, don't come out and talk about it. Just keep your plans to yourself. Keep quiet. Know what you're going to do. And then surprise everybody in December when the Electoral College votes. Because if you come out and say it, you're immediately going to be under intense pressure to do what you're supposed to do. Yeah, this guy could have been an elector. He could have been a faithless elector. And he could have shown his disapproval for Donald Trump then. And who knows? Maybe we even end up with an election where it could make a difference. Probably not. But maybe. But no, he threw it all away. Oh, well, back to the show. In any case, it's just a really weird situation. And the, you know, people have also started talking about, you know, are there ways that even at this date, the RNC could replace him as the candidate? And
I think that's way too late for that. I mean, I know that I've heard people talking about it. Here's
the answer. Technically, according to the rules of the RNC, they could still do that right now. And there are only a handful of states right now where it's too late to change the ballot. Most states, we got about another month or so that even ballots could be changed. But again, the RNC would have to have the will to do that. They would have to.
Right, no, they're not doing it. It's no, just, I don't see it happening.
If they wanted to stop him, you know, the time was months ago.
Yeah.
You know.
No, they're you know.
The RNC.
I mean, the only way it would be is if he has just a complete breakdown, winds up in a psychiatric ward.
Yes.
You know, something like that, then, you know, they would have to do something.
By the way, according to the rules, it would not automatically be Pence. Pence is the nominee for vice president. They could pick whoever they wanted for president if they did decide this. If either Trump dropped out or, like you said, something really way orders of magnitude worse than what's happened so far caused the RNC to pull him. Then, they could pick Ryan. They could pick whoever. They wouldn't have to bump Pence to the presidential spot and pick a new VP. They could. They might. But they wouldn't have to. There are all kinds of options there. But the willpower isn't there. Because they also,
it's not there.
They also know that if they did anything like that, I mean, pretty much they're fucked no matter what they do. But
they're fucked.
But if they did that, all of the people who are really diehard about Trump, and there are of them within the Republicans, they would go nuts.
Yeah.
This would completely and instantaneously overnight rip the Republican Party in two. Or three,
yeah,
or
know.
Four, or five. Now, that may be happening anyway, given what we're seeing. But that would guarantee it. So there's no way the RNC is going to voluntarily take that step unless they've really gotten to the point where, you know, they have absolutely no choice.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. Something calamitous could happen.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, you know, that given how much has happened in the last week, I shouldn't discount the odds of that happening, but it's not going to happen unless something calamitous happens.
Yes.
Which is a distinct possibility, I guess, but, you know.
Okay, let's take another break. We'll be right back with more Trump stuff. Back after this. want to understand what is really going on with the presidential election cycle? Then go to electiongraphs.com right away. There you'll find charts and graphs covering the nomination processes in both parties and the general election race for Electoral College votes. For the delegate races, we track not just delegate totals, but also the ever-important analysis of how each candidate has to do with the remaining delegates in order to actually win. For the Electoral College, we track state-by-state poll averages to categorize which states are actually in play and which are not, in order to show you the range of likely electoral results and how that changes over time. Sure, you can get some of this stuff elsewhere, but not in exactly the same way, and not from me. Sam, your prime curmudgeon. I think my election trackers are better than the rest, so come look at mine. electiongraphs.com. Okay, and we're back. So next, just as a point of news, this hasn't like gone crazy yet, but the judge in the Trump University case, you know, the one Donald Trump attacked publicly for being a Mexican, decided the case is going to trial. And so that's going to move forward. And it's so far, it hasn't been like delayed, like, hey, we'll deal with this in January. This is going to be playing out over the next few months.
Great.
Which is like, oh, yeah, if this wasn't already, you know, crazy enough, let's have a trial right in the middle of it. Now, the judge did deny press requests to release some testimony that Donald Trump had already given in that case. But apparently there's going to be a trial moving forward, and it's going to be moving forward in the next couple months. You know, people talk about Hillary Clinton's legal problems, but
that's what I'm saying. It's like we're talking about the lying and the whatever, and it's like, well, when you have this on the other side, it's like,
now, admittedly, this is a civil case, not a criminal case.
My God, but it could, I mean, it's a fraud case.
That's, yes.
Give me a break! It's civil fraud!
Yes. And we're going to have the trial going on during the election campaign. maybe. I don't think the trial date has been set yet, so maybe they will punt it to January or something. But it's just like, and so far, I'm actually amazed at this. In the 24 hours or so after that decision was made by the judge, Trump hasn't been on TV railing about the Mexican again.
I wonder if this is a bench trial. They're going to do a jury trial. I wonder what it is. I didn't look at the details.
I didn't either.
You know, because, I mean, some of these cases are bench trials. Basically, it's like, you know, there is no jury. I mean, the judge decides. I think I'm going to guess that probably because of the circumstance of this, it will probably be a jury trial. But, you know, we'll have to see.
So next up, a veteran offered Donald Trump his Purple Heart.
Oh, my God.
And Donald Trump responded by saying, "Ooh, I've always wanted one of these. It's so much easier to get this way."
That was just stupid. And the thing that I understand is, why in God's name would he take a fucking Purple Heart from you know, I mean, because it were me, I'm like, no, I can't accept that. I mean, our nation gave that to you because of this, you know, sacrifice you did. You got wounded. Come on, you can't give me that. But you know, happily took it.
I've always wanted one of these.
He's always wanted one of these, is what the guy says. I mean,
it's so much easier to get this way,
right? Without actually doing the sacrifice,
which of course prompted a whole bunch of people to publish articles about how his draft deferments during the Vietnam War, several of which were due to college, but one of which was one of these. I've got a foot spur or something, which is one of the typical things where, we don't have proof, but it was fairly common for wealthy individuals to be able to just go to some random doctor and, you know, pass some money under the table and get them to write a document saying they had some problem that would get them out.
Right.
Like I said, no proof. Maybe he did have a foot spur, but apparently it got better afterwards.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so... next, we already talked about Ryan and McCain, which came out of this Washington Post interview, but it's a really long interview. I don't even know if I finished it. I read most of it. They released the transcript. And if you've read the transcript or listened to previous Trump interviews, it's kind of similar in that he gives long, rambling, semi-coherent answers to all the questions. One of the interesting aspects of this interview was at least two, maybe three times during the interview, he sort of went off on a tangent because he was watching himself on TV over in the corner so he just started talking about what was on TV instead of answering the guy's question.
It's what I mentioned about his attention span, which doesn't exist.
Yeah, and, you know, look, some of the other interviews have had specific disturbing things he said about X, Y, or Z, and this one had a couple. Oh, and I completely forgot his sexual harassment comments this week. That wasn't even on my list.
Well, we forgot also, you talk about interview, forgot about the Stephanopoulos interview where he said he mentioned about Ukraine.
Yeah.
Russia's not going in there. I'm like, I'm sorry, Trump, but they already did. Oh, well.
He says he meant that if he was president, they wouldn't do it again.
Right.
Yeah. And on sexual harassment, he was asked about, in the context of the Roger Ailes case, he was asked if his daughter was being sexually harassed somewhere, and his response was, I hope she would leave. As opposed to, of course, something happening to the person who was harassing.
No, right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she would find something else to do,
was
his basic answer.
What else interesting in the interview?
The main thing I took away from it was just the once again, like, he can't hold a coherent thought in his head.
No, he can't at all.
You read any of his interviews where they ask him, you know, to explain his opinion on something or whatever. It's a mess. There's not like a coherent, here's my answer to this question and here's what I've thought about. It's all like rambling. Well, we'll be strong and we'll do this but nothing that in most
cases, it's going to be huge. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and in most cases, it specifically feels like he's going into that because he actually has absolutely no idea what the guy's asking him about.
Right.
So there's one tweet that's been going around. I retweeted it, but a bunch of other people have too, basically saying, okay, when is some reporter going to ask him a question about a made-up event in a made-up country and what his reaction is to that?
Oh, God, somebody's going to do that.
And say basically, look, you know, I know you'll get blacklisted for this and not be able to cover Trump anymore, but come on, it would be worth it, right?
Right. Yes, it would be.
You know,
I would love that one. That would be great. That would be so awesome.
You know, and there were a bunch of people tweeting like potential, you know, questions of like, you know, should we continue to honor the Slobiki Treaty with Slovakistan or whatever? You know? Yeah, you have to be a little less obvious than that, I think. Well, maybe not. I don't know, but...
I don't know.
Anyway. So, another thing, and this calls back to the Iran thing with the money, is that apparently, Trump has been criticizing this thing with the transfer of the cash to Iran that we were talking about earlier in the show. But when he did so, he talked about having seen a video.
Yes.
That very specifically, and he described in detail this video about what the pallets looked like and what the camera work in the video was like even. And he's like, it was a very steady, professionally done camera. It's like, what? And describing the scene as the money was loaded onto an airplane or something like, I forget what, all kinds of details, right? And the problem is, apparently, at least in the public space, no such video exists.
Right.
Now, which brings up two choices, and I'll actually tell you which one I'm leaning towards, but, like, that people have brought up is, one, as of the end of the convention, he was eligible for intelligence briefings. So one possibility is, as part of one of these briefings, they actually showed him a video like this, and he's talking about it even though it's classified. Now, people have been speculating about that. I actually don't think that's the case.
What do you think is the case?
I think he's just making shit up.
I gotta go with you on that one. I think he's making it up. He makes everything else up. Why wouldn't he make this up?
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, it's unclear whether or not he's actually started receiving the briefings. It sometimes takes a little while to get them set up and blah, blah, blah. Apparently, somebody posted that Romney didn't get his first briefing until September, 4 years ago. So he may not have even gotten his first briefing yet. And if he did get a briefing, do you really think that they probably have like 30 minutes with the guy? Is part of that going to be showing him a 5-minute video of a money transfer?
No, I think you're totally right. I think he made it up.
Yeah, I think he made it up. Which, once again, is like, the man can't help it.
No.
He's a pathological liar.
Yes. It's beyond belief.
Soon he's going to start talking about Morgan Fairchild. Sorry, God. 80s reference.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So I don't believe he actually is leaking classified information, because I don't think he's actually gotten it yet. I don't think this was it. Now, will he leak like a sieve when he does? I don't know. I mean,
I see that highly possible. Why wouldn't he? I mean, he can't keep his mouth shut.
If I'm the CIA, I'm going to be very careful about what I tell him.
What the hell? We show him.
Sam from the future here. As it turns out, people actually were able to track down what video Donald Trump was talking about. And it turns out it was neither a video from some sort of classified briefing or him making it up completely. But it also wasn't a video of money being transferred to Iran. It was a video from January that was what they call B-roll video related to an actual hostage transfer that happened apparently with Iran back in January. And he's just got it confused with something else and believed it was something related to this money transfer. It was related to a transfer, but a different transfer. Anyway, interestingly enough, this was pointed out. Somebody from a news agency said, hey, here's the video. We think it is this what Donald Trump said and saw? And somebody on his staff said, yeah, that's probably it. And so it's pretty clear that's probably what he saw. But even after that came out, Donald Trump continued to insist that he had seen this video and it was of the money transfer, even though it had been shown that that's not what he saw. But again, that's typical for Donald Trump. So anyway, back to the show. Anyway, are his comments we're like however many segments in, we're still talking. And next, and next, and next, and next. And what's the next fucking thing he says? Next on the list is nukes.
Right, the nuke thing.
So you tell this one, Yvonne, as I hit my microphone.
So my understanding was that he kept going and getting these briefings from, like, advisors on national security and foreign affairs or whatever. And he kept going around and, like, looking at conflicts, things that happened. He kept asking, so why can't we use the nukes? Did I summarize that pretty well?
Basically, yeah.
Why can't we use the nukes?
So, like,
I mean, really?
ISIS.
Why can't we use the nukes?
ISIS. Why don't we just nuke Syria? Why don't we just nuke them?
Okay.
Now, this was an anonymous source talking to, like, I think it was Joe Scarsborough.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You know, so this is not well-sourced. Who knows what the details are here? Who knows if it's really true? But, I mean, come on, with everything else about
Trump... Come on! Does this sound out of his realm? I think this sounds perfectly, you know, plausible.
100% in character here.
Yes!
And you know, he exhibited in the past complete lack of understanding of... you know, our nuclear defense posture and what the ideas there are. I mean, look, there's a tweet storm going around earlier today. And I'm sorry, check my Twitter to find out who it was. I'm sure I retweeted it. From, yes, a nuclear expert who's been involved in the details of our nuclear policy for decades and has at various times been stationed as part of the chain that would actually be involved if a nuclear weapon was ever launched. And it's like, the whole point of them is not to use them.
Right.
You know, the whole mutually assured destruction thing. I mean, and I know it's been decades since the Cold War ended, but it's still, the whole idea is that these are so horrible.
Not to use them.
Nobody's going to use them. The reason we have them is so that the other guy knows that if they use them, they will be utterly and completely destroyed, so they won't use them. And, right. And vice versa. If that, you know, basically, amazingly, after the two bombs were dropped in World War II, this genie has been, for the most part, shoved back into the bottle. I mean,
yeah, we haven't dropped another one. I mean, you get a psychotic like this idiot to go and say, oh, the North Koreans, they keep doing shit or whatever. Let's just nuke them fucking.
Yeah. I mean, there have been tests, but there have been no nuclear weapons used in a war against real people, you know, since World War II, and that it's remarkable. Now, more countries have them than did. You know, there is an issue with nuclear proliferation, but nobody's used them. I mean, India, Pakistan have them. You know, Israel has them.
And they hate each other, and they haven't used them.
Even freaking North Korea has one now. They haven't used it either, you know? And but no, like, do you really want to sort of open that Pandora's box? Apparently Trump does.
Yep.
But, you know, the thing is, though, he doesn't realize it's a Pandora's box. He doesn't realize the complete and total chaos that could be unleashed across the world if all of a sudden it was okay to use nuclear weapons again. You know, I really think he has no freaking idea, and he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. So. All right.
Okay, so we're almost at the end here. The last bit, and I alluded to this earlier, is a number of people have started explicitly saying in articles at fairly respected sites, does Donald Trump actually have, you know, a diagnosable mental health issue? And people
have, I believe that the answer is yes.
There've been a number of sort of armchair diagnoses trying to put it through all the steps. Does he qualify for this? Does he qualify for that? And it's really hard to do those. Yeah, like no actual psychiatrist is going to go on the record. It's actually against the guidelines to diagnose somebody that you are not actually seeing. But a number of people sort of going through, you know, the definitions of various disorders are like, and I'm trying to remember the specific ones.
Oh, gosh, there was this one narcissistic something, yeah, personality disorder. I think that was the one.
Yeah, that's one of the big ones. But look, I'm trying to remember who's the guy who was a sportscaster and then he did a news show and then he got
Keith Olbermann.
He did one. There we go. So could Donald Trump pass a sanity test by Keith Olbermann? And this was published on July 21st on Vanity Fair's Hive, on VanityFair.com. And Josh from Talking Point Memo also did an analysis of this sort. But basically, he takes it through, like, there's apparently a the hair psychopathy checklist. And you go through 20 items on the list, and you score each one on a 0, 1, or a 2. The highest score is a 40. In the U.S., the minimum accepted score for possible psychopathy is 20. And to skip through all the questions, the bottom line is he got 32.
Ouch.
You know, with sort of the armchair judging of each of these things. And so to look at the kinds of things on this list, for instance, glibness, superficial charm, grandiose sense of self-worth.
Yep.
Need for stimulation, proneness to boredom.
Yep.
Pathological lying.
Yep.
Cunning, manipulative.
Yep.
Lack of remorse or guilt.
Oh, yep.
Shallow affect.
Yep.
Callous, lack of empathy.
Oh, my God, yes.
Parasitic lifestyle.
Yep.
Poor behavioral controls.
Yep.
Promiscuous sexual behavior.
Yep.
Early behavior problems.
Oh, we didn't talk about Melania's, like, nudes, but okay.
Whatever. There's no problem with those things. I mean, people just got to get over that shit. Anyway, early behavior problems. And lack of realistic long-term goals.
Yes.
Impulsivity.
Yes.
Irresponsibility.
Uh-huh.
Failure to accept responsibility for one's own actions.
Yeah.
Many short-term marital relationships. Juvenile delinquency. This one he didn't get any points for. Revocation of conditional release. This is a very specific thing about, like, being on parole and getting put back in jail for violating the terms of parole, which has not happened to him. Criminal versatility. they didn't give him any points for that one. But anyway, he ended up with a score of 32 out of 40, which, again, if you remember from what I said at the top, anything more than 30 is the minimum score. So he's over the limit, but just barely on that particular quiz. And again, it's basically on Keith Olbermann's judgment of whether to give him a 0, 1, or a 2 on each question. But it's a very interesting read. The bottom line is, yeah, he meets a lot of these criteria. And that's really fucking scary.
Yes.
And it's like,
yes.
And you look at the whole of the GOP and the problems they're having and the civil war that I mentioned and people being hesitant to hear. And it's like, you own this, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
You own this. You let this guy win. And you all, like, you know, bent over, you know, you're just like, he could have been stopped.
He
could have been stopped. We were talking about it back last fall. About how all the damn Republican candidates, when we had like 19 of them, none of them wanted to lay a finger on this man.
Nope. They didn't attack him. They just let him just, you know, go out there like a freaking, like, you know, bull at a china shop. They were all scared of taking him on because he would lash out quickly, and they all just cowered like little freaking, scaredy cats.
They were scared of him. They didn't want to attack him. They were afraid that they needed his supporters to come to them afterwards, so they didn't want to piss off his supporters. And, you know, we kept saying it during the primary campaign. The other Republicans were always sort of looking at ways to stop Trump a month after it was too late to use that method.
Those idiots kept attacking each other instead of attacking Trump. They all thought that Trump was just going to go away.
Yeah.
And they didn't, like, lay into him until it was way too late.
Yeah. And you know, and all of these other Republicans who, after he won, are like, okay, we all have to rally together. It's Trump. You know. You idiots own this completely and totally. Like, you know, And I'd mentioned the local primaries here. I mean, they're primaries, so it's not yet the general election. But Washington State has a nonpartisan primary, so everybody runs together, and the top two move on to the general election. And I'll tell you, in the past, you know, I've been a ticket splitter. I've looked carefully at the candidates, and I lean more towards the Democrats than the Republicans, to be honest. I've generally had a mix. I've had a few. I've judged people individually, and I'll tell you, at this point, I'm of the mindset that, you know, the Republican Party is so tainted, I can't bring myself to vote for a Republican. Period.
I'm at that point right now, and I have voted for Republicans before. I voted for Jeb Bush for governor of Florida. Mm. I did. I mean, you know, he actually did a pretty good job, to be honest, you know. But I wouldn't fucking vote for any of these fucking bozos. None of them.
And honestly, I don't care. Even if a particular Republican has denounced Trump and said they don't support him,
he hasn't left the party over it.
The party does. And the party is enabling Donald Trump and all of the behavior that goes along with him and all of the racism and the xenophobia and the sexism and everything else behind it. That is what the Republican Party now is.
They created this monster. They've enabled it. They've been like, I mean, to me, they've been goosing this thing ever since Obama became president. This whole fucking birther thing, all the fucking teabaggers, all this shit, all the obstructionism, all the fucking like vilification and the fucking demonizing that they have been doing. They fucking created this whole fucking monster.
Yeah. And, you know. It is I look, these are some of these are local issues that like couldn't possibly be directly related. I don't care. Like all of the things that I might have been attracted to, there's certain aspects of economic platforms I'm attracted to. There's certain aspects of small government. Let's try a private solution before we try a public solution. This federalism concerns. There are a number of things that the Republicans used to stand for that I was attracted to. That I was like, I like that idea. And at this point, I don't care. I just don't care. That is overwhelmed. Completely and totally by this other stuff. And in a general election, I've said before, for me, this is Donald Trump is not even an option. It's to me, it's like a Hillary Clinton versus Gary Johnson race. But I'll tell you, like, and Washington State is a blue state. There's no risk of my vote actually making a difference here. So I could safely vote for Gary Johnson. It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to be like I'm in a state like Florida voting for Ralph Nader or whatever in 2000.
Right.
But I'm at this point, I'm feeling more and more strongly that even if there are a few, honestly, I'd have to think carefully about whether or not I'm torn. I don't know whether I like Johnson better than Clinton if I look at him on the merits. I like a lot about Johnson. And so if it was completely and totally pick the candidate who most closely aligns to my views, it might actually be Johnson. But at this point, I'm thinking more and more that, you know, I don't care. Like, and I don't care if Electoral College is going to Clinton no matter what in Washington State. Even at the popular vote level, it's important not just that Hillary Clinton win. It's important that she win by the largest margin possible to denounce this man and show that he is rejected. And it distresses me to no end that he's got the level of support that he actually does today. And, you know, for my vote, I think I'm going Clinton. Even if I like Johnson better, I think I'm going Clinton because that sends the stronger message to reject Trumpism. And I don't know. Anybody who listened in 2008 knows I did not like Hillary Clinton. I do not like Hillary Clinton. There's some aspects of her that are okay. I've warmed to her over the years, but I was rabidly against her. I was an Obama person in 2008. I did not so like was Hillary
I.
Clinton.
I was an Obama person in 2008 too.
But you know, dude, I'm with her.
I already said this 6 months ago. I'm with her 100%. I dove all in. I mean, I'm you know. And like I said, I mean, I'm like with Sam saying, listen, I had split my ticket many times before. Voted for Republicans that I thought had done a number of good things for the state. You know, I mean, in Jeb's case, for example, you know, one of the things that I mentioned, you know, it's education, health care. He had done a lot of things in the state that really improved people's lives. And I you know, and maybe I didn't agree with him on a couple of on a number of things, but I did vote for him a couple of times because of the things that that I thought he did well. Okay, you know, I think so. Yeah, I mean, you know, I you know, but I'm not doing that shit this year. No fucking way. Yeah. Not one of those assholes is getting my vote. None.
I'm with you. Okay, that's a show. I think, unless Donald Trump has done something else crazy since he started the show.
I not that I've seen in my news feed, no. Maybe he's taking a nap, finally.
As we said at the beginning of the show, thank you to all our listeners. If you haven't liked us on Facebook already, please do, and go to Facebook and comment on the show. We'd love to hear from you. And tell your friends, review us on iTunes, share us on social media. We're growing, and we'd like to grow even faster. We do this for fun. We did this for years when we only had like 10 downloads a week.
Sometimes six.
Sometimes the only person who downloaded it was me. Actually, I don't think we ever had one.
We never had one that low. No.
But under 10 for sure. We did it anyway. We do it for fun. We don't do it for, we're clearly not making any money off this thing. But it's nice to know when people appreciate it and download it and listen. So it's nice to see the numbers going up. It's also nice when you comment in places where we can see it. We love to interact with you, and we love to hear your feedback. So thanks, everybody, for 100 listeners. It's downloads. 100 downloads. Not all of those people probably listened. Their devices downloaded it automatically. So we probably, you know, but whatever. It's still, yay. thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.